This is Radioactive Magazine, a KKFI public affairs program of progressive activism, opinion, and commentary. Opinions expressed on this program are those of the speakers alone and are not necessarily the views of KKFI, its staff, volunteers, board of directors, show hosts, or other guests on the program.
Welcome to Radioactive Magazine and another edition of Global Warming Corner with Dave Mitchell on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. We have with us today Missouri State House Representative Judy Morgan, who represents District 24 here in Kansas City. Ms. Morgan has served as a Democratic representative to the Missouri House since 2011. She has also been a longtime teacher and past president of the American Federation of Teachers, Local 691. Representative Morgan has significant concern for the global warming issue and was one of the speakers at the recent November 29 Kansas City Climate Rally. This rally was one of about 2,300 rallies worldwide, where about 750,000 people called on the UN Paris Climate Talks to forge a strong international agreement for humanity to engage in significant reduction of fossil fuel use. In Global Warming Corner, we never let it go unsaid that 97% of climate scientists concur it is very likely human activities in the form of fossil fuel burning have warmed our climate, per NASA. Now that we have that out of the way, Representative Morgan, thanks so much for being with us on the show today.
Good to be here. Okay. You know, this KKFI is actually in my district, right in the middle of my legislative district, so I'm happy you guys are here.
It is. Before we discuss the historic climate agreement that was just completed in Paris just this last weekend, how did you personally come to recognition that global warming was a serious problem?
Well, I think my first activity dealing with the environmental issues was way back in 1970 when I was a college student and I participated in the first Earth Day. In terms of global warming, I think I became more attuned to it and more knowledgeable about it when I came to the Missouri Legislature, and we did deal with some issues like the Keystone Pipeline. You know, we passed a resolution telling Obama we wanted him to go forward with it, and of course I voted against that, but I think that's what got me more knowledgeable about it, was being in the legislature and having to do some research around some of the bills we were considering.
What is your sense of the seriousness of the problem from your research that you've done so far?
Oh, sure. Well, like you said, 97% of the scientists believe that global warming is a serious problem, that if we don't do something about it because of the burning of the fossil fuels and the carbon emissions, that pretty disastrous things are going to happen to our environment. There's things already happening in terms of how it affects people's health. You know, I know I'm a grandmother of a almost three-year-old grandson who loves to be outside, and the American Association of Pediatric Doctors said that this whole issue, the smog that's obviously generated by the global warming, actually has a worse effect on children because they're outside more. And obviously, I'm concerned about what this is going to do to our kids and grandkids, and I would like to see our environment stay safe. So it's a big concern to me, and I think it's at a point where I think more people are interested in the issue and concerned about the issue.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I think there's definite movement in our society and in the world in general to become much more concerned about this problem, and which leads us to the UN climate talks. It's called the Paris Agreement.
Right.
It was arrived at by, I believe, 196 nations.
Yes.
Meeting in Paris in relation to the United Nations. And from my standpoint, this agreement is a very historic one, in that all the nations in the United Nations have agreed to the need for humanity to cease fossil fuel use by the end of the century. This achievement has flaws, but I do believe it's of seminal import in human history. there are three positives I'd like to highlight.
Okay.
And they are that is an agreement by all nations of the necessity to cease fossil fuel use.
Mm-hmm.
And there is also a review process every 5 years with understanding that more actions will be needed to be done. And that there is affirmation by the developed countries to provide financial assistance to developing countries. What's your general response to the Paris Agreement?
Well, I think the first big step that was really important is just that those 196 countries all agreed that global warming is a serious issue and that if we don't do something about it, it is going to cause irreparable harm to our planet. And I think that's always, to me, the first step in being able to take action is you've got to acknowledge the problem. And so I think there was that first step taken to acknowledge the problem that, yes, we all, developing and, you know, developed countries already developed, like the United States, and smaller countries that are just developing, all of them agreed this is something we have to deal with. I thought that was a very, very important first step. I agree with you about, I think it's good that they're going to have continued meetings over the 5 years. I think it's good that I know there is no penalty to countries that don't comply with what the agreement stated, but they are legally bound to publish reports on what's happening in terms of the burning of fossil fuels, the carbon emissions, all of that, and those reports will be made public. So there's sort of an attitude that we hope we can name and shame these countries into going along with the agreement. So I thought that was good. But I think all of those things are good, and like I say, it's certainly a good step forward. This has been worked on for 23 years, since 1992, trying to get some kind of an agreement among the countries. 2009 in Copenhagen, everything fell apart in chaos. That didn't happen this time. And all of these countries, I think this is phenomenal, all of these countries, by consensus, had to come up with an agreement. Now, I've been on the lead negotiator for the teachers union, and we would only have about five negotiators on each team, and it was hard for us to sometimes come up with agreements.
Right.
So you're talking about 196 countries by consensus, not by majority vote, but by consensus, they adopted this. That is a phenomenal thing, in my opinion.
Right. I think. In our prior conversation, I noted that this historic agreement, page 23A of the Kansas City Star, in the Sunday mm-hmm. paper, which I was disappointed. You know, the KC Star, they did provide front page coverage mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago at the start of the climate talks, and they did a companion article for the KC Climate Rally,
right?
And I was very pleased to see that. And they do publish letters to the editor.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I have seen some of those
that are friendly to people that are concerned about the issue. And there is. I was disappointed to see that it made page 23A of this Sunday's paper.
Mm-hmm.
That's reflective of, and I could be wrong, but to me that's reflective of certain media sources squelching the issue, and these are just my own personal observations here.
Although I will say, I did participate in the rally on Sunday, November 29th, right before the Paris talks started, and I thought it was a great rally. I thought the speakers, coming from both the religious leaders, from the union leaders. It was a diverse group of people that were there in support of dealing with this issue of global warming and climate change. So, I'm glad the Star did cover that because they don't always cover those kinds of things. So I was really glad they did. It would have been better if they would have been front page with, and I haven't really looked at papers throughout the country to see if any paper did put it on their front page.
This is Radioactive Magazine, and we are talking today with Representative Judy Morgan from District 24. She is the Democratic Representative from the Missouri House. Well, I think the New York Times did.
Okay. Good.
I'm fairly sure they did. But
I think the reason, the only reason we've been able to get to the point we have is with any other issue, you have to get a critical mass of individuals that care about the issue and that are willing to take to the streets, to protest, like was done, and then educate people, and that's the way you get change in any issue, I believe. And I do have some sort of encouraging news. I've read some polls about this issue, and it says that a Yale study found that the majority of voters in the states that are suing to throw out the Clean Power Plan, which there's a number of states doing that, actually support it. So the people in those states actually support the Clean Power Plan. And there have been other studies that show that people are more likely to vote for a candidate who supports the Clean Power Plan, which is, of course, the United States lowering carbon emissions by, I think, 32% by the year 2030, the plan that President Obama supports, which would help in reducing the global warming. So I thought that was encouraging, and I think that's happened because, you know, people have gotten out there that care about this issue and have brought attention to it.
Yes, I do think that there is definitely a shift going on.
Right.
And the Clean Power Plan is aiming to reduce 32% from 2005 levels, I know that the state of Missouri. The goal that was set for the state of Missouri in the Clean Power Plan was to reduce 37%.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that the Department of Natural Resources has to come up with some kind of plan.
Right. I think they're in at the federal level, they are leaving it up to the states to come up with their. They've set the standards, but the states can come up with their plan for how we're going to meet those standards.
Every state has flexibility as to
right.
how they can develop those plans, and my understanding also is that the state of Missouri, and I think all other states, would have the option in 2016 of requesting a 2-year extension on that.
Yes, I think that's right.
And, do you have any thoughts about how Missouri could meet? Or significant steps the state could take?
Well, I think obviously that a lot of the global warming is caused by the coal burning plants that fuel our utilities, electricity, and we are, you know, making a shift to some renewable energy via the Proposition C that the voters passed in 2008 to try to shift some of our energy production to renewable energy through wind and solar. And we're obviously going to have to continue to do that to meet those standards. We're going to have to shift, I think, from some of the coal burning to the renewable energy. Probably some of the things that are guidelines for car emissions will probably help, because I think cars do contribute some to that, too, in terms of their emissions.
Okay, and, Proposition C was passed by the voters in 2008, Missouri
yes.
voters.
Yes, actually pretty overwhelmingly by the Missouri voters was it passed.
66%, mm-hmm.
And even greater in areas like in my district, which is kind of midtown, downtown Kansas City, mm-hmm. kind of more progressive areas passed it by even greater percentages.
Right. And Proposition C does call for 15% renewable energy by 2021, if I recall correctly.
Yes, yes, that's correct. And it can be wind, solar. It can be different different sources.
Okay. So through Proposition C alone, Missouri has put itself on the way.
Right.
For the Clean Power Plan.
Yeah, and the legislature has tried to undo that, and hydro is also part of that renewable energy, and there was a bill a couple of years ago that would have allowed these very big inefficient hydro plants to qualify as renewable energy, which is just not true. They should not. I mean, they're not efficiently producing energy sources. But fortunately, although the Missouri House passed that particular piece of legislation that would have not totally gutted those renewable energy standards, but would have certainly lessened them, it didn't pass in the Senate. So we still are under Proposition C in the state of Missouri. Now, I don't know if there will be another effort to try to lessen those again, but we will certainly be fighting them with everything we've got if they do.
This is Radioactive Magazine, and we are talking today with Representative Judy Morgan from District 24. She is a Democratic representative from Missouri House. You know, I know in the U.S., in the national U.S., there are what I call dark clouds on the horizon. You know, in relation to the U.S. pledge to reduce carbon emissions, mm-hmm. and our ability to do so in the future, and those dark clouds, at the moment, I identify them as there are leading Republican presidential candidates, particularly Donald Trump and Senator Ted Cruz, who echo the conservative narrative that global warming is not happening or that it is not human-induced.
Mm-hmm.
Congress has recently passed two resolutions along party lines to terminate the EPA Clean Power Plan. President Obama will veto these, of course. The attorney generals of 26 states have filed suit against the EPA Clean Power Plan. Mm-hmm. Do you have any thoughts about the national Republican narrative, which it seems to be in so much opposition to attempts to take positive steps?
Yeah. The resolution that the Senate passed, which would basically tell the EPA, like you said, to negate the Clean Power Plan, to not go forward with the Clean Power Plan, did pass pretty much along party lines. There were a couple of Republicans who voted to stick with Obama on it, and there were a couple of Democrats who voted against Obama on it. But for the most part, you're right, it was primarily party lines on that, with the Republicans voting to tell the EPA stop doing the Clean Power Plan, Democrats saying, no, we support President Obama. So I think what we do know is Obama like you said, if the resolution did pass, but if it gets to the president's desk, he will veto it, and he will have enough votes to sustain the veto, because you only need a third of the votes, so he'll have that. Now, what would happen is if we get a president in there who does not believe in that Clean Power Plan or does not believe in what happened at the Paris talks, that particular individual president can negate all of this. And right now we know, I believe, all of the Republican nominees for president do not support the Clean Power Plan. They don't support the Paris peace talk, the Paris talks on the climate change, and the Democratic candidates do support all of that. So it's going to be really important, I think, to elect a president who is willing to follow along with what President Obama has started, who's willing to continue going forward with the Clean Power Plan, is willing to continue supporting what happened in Paris. It's going to be very important to elect a president who's going to do that. So I think people really need to pay attention, if they care about this issue, to who they vote for, and to vote for that person who will continue to work toward lessening or eliminating global warming.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more on that. Mm-hmm. I think also an issue that really creates a great deal of concern for me is the social narrative on the part of significant numbers of people, which state that global warming either is not happening or that it's just part of a natural cycle, and that humans are not involved. And it's a very powerful force in the American political scene, and it is polarized by mm-hmm. party, which is to me quite tragic.
I think I recently read something that said about half of the Senate thinks that climate change is a hoax,
and that's
pretty startling when 97% of our scientists think the opposite and think it's a very real danger.
But. Yes, it's this whole narrative is it concerns me greatly, and it's just as there is a lot of education is definitely a significant piece mm-hmm. In the puzzle, no question about that, and
I think one thing we haven't mentioned that maybe we do need to talk about just a little bit is what was one of the things that came out of the Paris climate talks, which was to limit the rise in the average global temperature to below 2 degrees Celsius, with the ideal being 1.5. So I think that's the whole issue is, and I read that if we don't put some of these carbon emission standards into place, that our planet's temperature could rise by like 5 degrees Celsius, which could melt Greenland and Antarctica, you know, I mean, which would be disastrous. And so I think that's the whole thing that they have agreed to, is we realize we have got to limit the warming of the planet's temperature.
Well, yes, and sort of the fundamental issue of that is the development of feedback loops within mm-hmm. within the natural system, which once they get to a certain point cannot be stopped. And,
right.
And, such as, for example, Arctic ice disappearing in the summer minimum, and then instead of a huge ice field reflecting heat back out into space, you've got water, which is mm-hmm. which absorbs dark water, which absorbs sunlight as opposed to reflecting it, mm-hmm. And then another feedback loop would be the melting of the permafrost up in the Arctic regions, which would be releasing incredible amounts of methane, mm-hmm. and that's already starting to occur.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the 2 degrees centigrade has always been the internationally agreed upon mm-hmm. Red line beyond which mm-hmm. catastrophic global warming mm-hmm. Would occur, and. And 1.5 degrees centigrade is the most highly desirable
right.
option.
I think I said Celsius. I should have said centigrade. Sorry.
Well, I think they're the same thing.
Okay.
us Americans get confused because I get a little confused, but I used to anyway. But 2 degrees centigrade is 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay.
And,
okay.
For us Americans and 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit, we've already warmed the planet since 1900 here in the United States, about 1.4 degrees Fahrenheit, according to the National Climate Assessment in 2014. And I think the problem is that it may not sound like much, but the climate is becoming increasingly unstable,
mm-hmm.
and there are... there is extreme weather events are happening more and more.
Right.
And just an example would be the 1,000-year rain flood event in South Carolina
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just a couple months ago.
Right.
And then Texas this May getting so much rain that it was enough to cover the whole state 8 inches of water.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's just... the tip of the iceberg in terms of what's going on around the world. This is Radioactive Magazine, and we are talking today with Representative Judy Morgan from District 24. So I've been kind of rambling on here a little bit about the consequences.
Well, I think that's important to know, though.
So when we confront this narrative, you know, that's going on, which I perceive to be the worst in our country, in the United States, this narrative, which has become very polarized politically, and there's just so much opposition to efforts to address the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I know that education is a part of the piece of the puzzle, mm-hmm. And I also know that there's been quite a bit of movement
mm-hmm.
On the issue. Climate change is part of the presidential debates now, and it was not in 2012. And,
yeah, you and I were talking kind of interestingly. I read an article, I think you read the same article, that said Obama was, as he neared that 2012 election, he was starting to understand climate change and see it as a really big issue that needed to be dealt with. But his advisors told him that it wasn't polling well, so they didn't want him to bring it up during the election. And what they said to him is, well, you can't deal with the issue if you're not elected first, so let's get you elected first. But in his State of the Union, I think in 2013, starting his second term, he did bring it up as one of his priorities. So I think that's I think the president himself has been moved along on this issue by the information he's gained and the education he's received on the issue.
Hi there. I'm Valerie Andrus, president of KKFI's all-volunteer board of directors. You may have gotten a letter in the mail from me recently asking you for your support of KKFI, your community radio station. In my letter, I stress that KKFI is there for you and you only. I ask for your thoughts about how well we're meeting your needs. You listen to us, and we want to listen to you, because we exist only so long as you listen. When my letter arrives in your mailbox, please take a minute or two and share your thoughts with me. I promise your voice will be heard. Thank you.